Welcome to Megabucks Radio. Conversations with successful entrepreneurs, sharing their tips and strategies for success. Real world ideas that can put Megabucks in your bank account. Here's your host, Nina Hirschberger.
Welcome to today's show. This is your host, Nina Hirschberger. And today I have Larry Weiss on the show. He owns a company called Elder Advisors. And I think that this is a little different because I'm really fascinated by not only his amazing track record of success, but the interesting thing that he talks about with many of his clients. He's got a lot of things. But anyway, Larry, welcome to today's show.
Thank you. You know, I'm somewhat perplexed and slightly disappointed that the viewers and listeners can't appreciate the true beauty that is Larry Weiss because we're limited only to the audio feature today. But I'm going to live with it because I'm a professional.
The one thing you guys will quickly figure out with Larry is he is a fun guy. I've known Larry for many years, and he's always got you laughing, and it's nothing is ever boring with Larry. So let's go back in time, though, Larry. You own Elder Advisors. What in the world? Who are you? What do you do, and how did you get started?
Well, I've been doing estate planning since 1996, and I kind of did a rebrand, a refresh in 2010, and did business as Elder Advisors because most of my clients have been aging, and we've been kind of transitioning from pre-planning to sometimes crisis planning or pre-crisis planning. So there's kind of the Elder Advisors. My name kind of says it all. I'm not an attorney giving legal advice. I'm a financial advisor giving financial advice and sometimes hair care product consultations. But I try to focus on the financial. Would you please focus with the script, Nina? Focus, please. Stay with me.
Okay, I'm with you, Larry.
I'm living, I'm not existing. I'm having the time of my life. I've got six great people that work with me every day. I've got a law firm that I'm able to refer clients to for the legal nuances because I'm not an attorney. But I've got an office in Louisville, one here in southern Indiana, and a lot of it is geared towards crisis planning or even pre-crisis planning, and that's where I'm having, you know, a reasonable amount of success. I'm a little superstitious, knock on wood, because a lot of those components are the funeral trust.
Okay, so when you say crisis planning, so these are not clients that have been with you forever and ever and ever, and you've done a really good job planning. These are people that all of a sudden go, oh, my goodness, something's got to happen. Am I interpreting that right?
Well, yeah, or they could be clients I've had for 20 years. And, you know, and because I send out newsletters every quarter, and those newsletters and a lot of my business model is an homage to Mike Odell. May he rest in peace. So much of my business model was built off of Mike Odell at his events in Wisconsin and a lot of the movers and shakers that I met at his events to build my business model. I met you at Mike Odell's event. So Mike always had plenty of tools in his toolbox for people to build their business model if they simply wanted to make use of it and get out. The biggest challenge I had in 2010 was taking 2 months off to work on my business. All of us are working in our business every day, but I stopped for about 2 months. I had to stop what I'd been doing for at that time was 14 years and rebrand and refresh as Elder Advisors to do a lot of crisis planning and pre-crisis planning. So even if there's listeners out there that go, well, I don't deal with any crisis plan, you still have the business opportunity to make use of the funeral trust. It's just most apparent in a crisis plan, but it does not have to be in a crisis plan. But I'll have clients that have been getting my newsletters for 20 years. And the kids are the ones that are reading the newsletters because mom has passed, but dad's not in a nursing home, and they're concerned about protecting assets. And we do a lot of that. And the building model is always starting with taking assets that otherwise would be countable and parking them in irrevocable funeral trusts. We do it all day long.
So Larry, so let me ask this. So they've been with you for 20 years. They've got their, I don't know, I'm going to pull something out of the air. They got their annuities, they've got the IRAs, they got their Roths, whatever they've got with you. But all of a sudden, mom passed away, dad's in the nursing home, and the kids are saying, oh my? So they didn't pay any attention to any of these newsletters?
Well, or, well, you know, we all live in denial. But the other thing is, a lot of families and a lot of us are basically persuaded by the barbershop law. And the barbershop law says you can't do anything to protect assets. If there's a nursing home issue, you know, they'll lose everything. There's a five-year-old, you know, everybody's just mixing all these words and stuff. The reality is for husband and wife, you can protect all of the assets and you don't have to do stupid things like getting divorced. That's stupid and it's completely unnecessary. For husband and wife, we can protect all the assets. If it's for a single person, we can protect about half of the assets. I mean, I've got a family coming in tomorrow. I met with them Monday. This is a single person. We sat down and we're going to move assets. And the son, I said, how much do we have in mom's account? He said, well, we've got $190,000. And I had planted the seed about doing the funeral trust, which I learned at Mike Odell's events many years ago. And we've got basically, I think it's six family members and six times 15 equals 90, I think. Whatever, however many family members, I've lost track. I think it's five or six, but we moved $90,000 to the funeral trust. It's irrevocable. It's not counted as an asset, and it is Medicaid compliant. And we work within the rules. So now I've still got $100,000 I'm going to work with and still gift about half of that to the family. So the funeral trust just continues to make sense, but you have to know what you're doing. That's why we're doing our first ever funeral trust expo at the end of October here in Louisville for people that want to know more about this. Whether it's crisis planning or pre-planning, it's an important tool. And it's an easy tool because it's a one-page application and no underwriting.
Okay, so let's unpack what you just said. So here you've got a family coming in. I forgot, what did you say? Mom is in the nursing home or something. You ask how much money she's got. And they said about $100,000.
She had $190,000 when the son sat down with me.
$190,000, okay. Which won't last a long time, but people would say, well, that's enough. Why do we have to do something? I mean, yes, it's going to go to the nursing home, but that's just the way it is. Why would they want to do something different? Why is this funeral trust you keep talking about, though? Why?
Well, first of all, what people don't fully appreciate is even if you, what you're basically saying without saying it, Nina, is what's called spend down. What they're doing is they are spending down their assets over a period of a year and a half to spend down the remaining assets to get to under $2,000 to qualify for benefits. That's spend down. But just because you got to the spend down threshold of $2,000, that does not mean that automatically next month you're qualifying for benefits. No, what that means is you now get to file a Medicaid application. And the state typically takes the position of a denial. You know, it's kind of like you're guilty till proven innocent type of position. So you now have to put together about a two to three inch thick file of the life narrative that it's mom to prove to the state you've done everything correct and you're eligible for benefits. So if we're engaged, we're going to protect half of the assets and then we do that so the families don't have to. Because here's the other thing that people don't understand. If they just spend down the $190,000 over the next year and a half at the nursing home, because right now we're at about $9,000 to $10,000 a month. Now when the family, when the nursing home administrator, case manager calls the family and says, you know what, I'm sorry, but we tell our people to check the laundry before we send it to the laundry. I'm afraid we threw out mom's $5,000 hearing aid. Okay. Well, now, because you left all the money at the nursing home, Bob or Mary, who's the primary caregiver, the one trying to take care of mom, they're looking around going, we're not going to come up with $5,000 for the hearing aids. Oh, I know. I'll call Susie in Arizona and Bob in Texas and Amanda in Tennessee and see if they'll all chip in $1,500. We know how that phone call is going to go. It's going to go nowhere. So now Mary has to have the discussion at dinner time with her husband and say, hey, we need to get a credit card loan for $5,000 to pay for mom's hearing aids because no one else will come up with the money. Don't wait for that terrible situation to come up. So when we do some legacy money, when we're moving about half of those assets for a single person, that's to ensure mom is taken care of properly. Because when she does go on benefits, Medicaid's not paying for the $5,000 hearing aids. They're not paying for the TV remote you lost for the third time. So there's all kinds of strategies there to do that. So if you want to spend your money and go broke in the nursing home, you can, but you still have to file the application and deal with that. And that's like a 4 to 5 month application process. And if the family is denied, and it took, let's say it just took 3 months to get the denial. Well, the bill is now $30,000 and they've got a denial. So not only are they not eligible for benefits, the nursing home is kind of tapping their toes, pointing their hand, saying, you need to lay a check on us for $30,000. And the family doesn't have it. So there's all kinds of problems, all kinds of problems there. You don't have to do that.
Okay. So tell us why you don't have to do that.
Well, that's when they engage elder advisors, because we walk through the process for the families as their advocate to collect the documents that are necessary, arrange the financials that are correct to comply with the Medicaid strategy, and then we hand the file over to the law firm. So for the gentleman I've got coming in tomorrow, there's $100,000 remaining. We're going to do a gift to the family of about $50,000. We're still going to privately pay for 4 or 5 more months anyway. So the nursing home is still getting private pay. And then we'll go on benefits in about 6 months. But now we've already locked up $90,000 in what I call legacy money for the funeral trust for the families, because mom is allowed to do that. And now we've got about a $40,000 to $50,000 little legacy money put off to the side to pay for mom's cares and needs the rest of her days. So we don't have to go hat in hand and call all of our brothers and sisters and ask them to chip in for the $1,000 chip in for the hearing aids.
Okay. So a funeral trust is a single page, one premium, irrevocable trust to pay for final expenses, funeral expenses. Is that correct? Did I explain it correctly?
No. I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, at this point in life, when it's a crisis plan, or even a pre-crisis plan, where mom's getting rehab and we're thinking if things don't turn around, we may have to deal with the nursing home, Medicaid allows, you know, check your local state and county agencies for the nuances. But in my world that I work in Indiana, Kentucky, and it's certainly allowed, mom is the owner of the policies, and she can buy her children's funerals, her in-laws' funerals. That's why I was able to get rid of $90,000, because mom is allowed to do that, and it's not seen as an improper transfer. It's a one-page application. There's no underwriting. And the commissions are paid, and the commissions for the people out there that have the insurance license will appreciate this. The commissions are paid on, you know, a 62-year-old son, not a 92-year-old mother. So the commissions can be quite rewarding, people.
So, and it's a gift. I mean, she's going to lose it anyway. So
correct.
Why not gift it away? Because we're all going to die. So what, in the case of that, the guy that's coming in, his mother has gifted all those family members their final funeral expenses.
I would correct you on the word gift, because gift,
okay,
and what we're talking
perfect.
About today has a connotation of an improper transfer where Medicaid will assess a penalty for the gift. Mom's not gifting anything. Mom is allowed to prepay as a purchase. She's getting something for value. She's getting a prepaid funeral. And it was Mike Odell that spent a lot of time showing me the POMS manuals, showing the rules and the regulations and the verbiage for that. So mom is not gifting anything. She is allowed to pay for her family prepaid funerals, and it is not a gift. It is an expense. She's getting something for value, so there is no penalty assessed to that.
Tell me who is in that family. Who's included in that?
Well, for today's discussion, so we don't get down the rabbit hole very deep, typically what we're doing is if mom or dad is the patient, the resident nursing home, we can do the spouse. And then typically we're doing the children, and the daughter, the son-in-laws. And we can even do, we can go sideways and do her sister and her brother as well. So that's
okay.
Quite a family tree.
Now, Larry, in the past, at least it's been my impression, that you really never wanted to go on to Medicaid because there are very few beds. They're awful places to be. Has that changed at all?
Yeah, well, first, the last thing you said is true. The beds are hard to find, but the beds are hard to find whether you're privately paying or you're transitioning to Medicaid. I will tell you, in my world, the greater Kentuckiana area, 60-mile radius of Louisville, Kentucky, nearly every facility will allow families to transition from private pay to Medicaid. There are a few communities that are private pay only that probably will never allow you to transition to Medicaid because they want the full pay of $12,000 a month. But the vast majority of communities, Nina, will transition to Medicaid. And I will tell you that, but for the business office manager, the staff, whether it's the CNAs or the doctors or the nurses or the janitor, they have no idea who's privately paying and who's on Medicaid. And let's talk about that. The best thing a family can do to be an advocate for the family is simply go to the community and visit with their loved ones at different times and visit with them because the staff knows who gets visits and who doesn't. That's the best advocate for the family is the family themselves.
Okay, you mean, so in other words, they're going to get better care? Is that why they would, I mean, first of all, just to give you a, my mother is in assisted living. We actually have a private person that goes in three times a week, too, because we know that, you know, because I don't, I live about 3 hours from her and stuff. So she's got people coming all the time to see her.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is it's just human nature. And I'm just speaking for myself, being a human being. It's human nature. If I'm a little kid at home and mom has made cookies and she's walking through that kitchen every 3 minutes, I'm just not really going to take a chance on stealing a cookie because I'm going to get caught. Now, transition that to adults in the room, moms in a nursing home and stuff. Staff knows what rooms are visited and which ones aren't. The family is the best advocate for the care of their loved one. It's as simple as that. And that's a personal opinion. That's not anything in a stat or anything. But I will tell you also that some of the super, super nice facilities or people think are super, super nice, sometimes they have bad days. And some of the more traditional nursing homes really give great performance. So you never know. Look, we all have bad days in our personal lives and our professional life, and certainly nursing homes do as well. You just have to be an advocate for your family, wherever they are, wherever they are.
Okay, so let me see if I can feed this back to you. So if a person is in a nursing home or assisted living already, and you're working down, you've done the funeral trust, and so now you've got maybe 3 or 4 months worth of money left, you can start the process of filling out the paperwork with the elder lawyer and with the family. So by the time the money runs out, then they're already ready to go. Is that what I heard you say?
Well, you really didn't hear me say that because I'm not going to wait till the money runs out. I'm going to, you know, if like this gentleman that I'm talking about, he just came to us and mom recently went in the nursing home. So I took $90,000 off the table for the funeral trust. So that's off the table. The remaining $100,000, I'm going to protect $50,000. I'm not going to wait till he spends $100,000 down to nothing and then file for benefits. I haven't done my job. I haven't done anything to protect any assets. The sooner they get to me, the more money I can protect.
Interesting. Okay, well, so sadly,
Nina, I want to finish this point. Sadly, all too often, let's just say other people are directed to do that strategy, which is, okay, we'll do a funeral trust and we'll buy a car for mom they don't need. And then, okay, when you spend all the money down, come back and I'll file for benefits. Well, gee, thanks for nothing, you know? Thanks for nothing.
Would you say every insurance agent, every financial planner should have the funeral trust as an absolute thing that they need to be offering, or even an accountant offering to their client base?
Well, it's certainly, you know, you can't sell from an empty wagon. And the funeral trust is such an easy concept because there's no underwriting. It's a one-page application. And when there are some that think I'm the leading producer in the country doing this. I don't know. I don't really look at numbers, but I do a lot of this stuff. And I've been doing it for a number of years. And you would be surprised for the families that if you're just doing, you know, normal insurance and talking to family and it's clearly pre-planning, you're just kind of doing some things. when you sit across from someone, you say, have you prepaid your funeral? More often than not, people say, no, but you know what we've been thinking about? We just didn't know where to go. And I'm like, you're at the right place. Here we go. Load them up. Let's go. Just ask the question. Most agents, most professionals are afraid to ask the question. Just do it. It's easy.
You know, I said something last night. We were at a party, and I said something about I was going to have this conversation with you today. And they said, funeral trust, we don't need that. That means somebody doesn't have enough money to pay for their funerals.
No, not at all. Not at all. And let's go back to my $90,000. Okay. One of the kids works locally, has a good job. He's got insurance, you know, life insurance. I'm like, great. That just means your wife and your kids are going to have more money when you pass away. Because now mom is prepaying your funeral. I'm moving money over to your side of the table that otherwise you would not receive. So it's kind of legacy. We're transferring a little legacy from mom over to the kids. No, nothing can be further wrong from that. No, it's a funeral trust, so we're making sure we have money set aside for a rainy day that otherwise is lost.
Well, and you said it was not only is it an easy application, but it can be very it's a great thing for the family, but it can be a financially beneficial for whoever's selling it as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, absolutely. That's why we're doing our first ever Funeral Trust Expo, October 27th and 28th here in Louisville. You know, I love what I do. I've got a national comedian, Greg Hahn, opening up the act Thursday night to just kind of have a little fun. And then Friday morning, it's fast paced. So they can go to funeraltrustexpo.com and look at the agenda. But, you know, Dale Krause from the Krause Agency in Wisconsin, Dale will be there. He's pretty much the pioneer with these type of concepts. Jay Hardy, Ryan, will be from Unity Insurance. They'll be there talking about it. They can go to the website, funeraltrustexpo.com, and see everything they need to know to register, all that good stuff. But, I mean, it'll be a fast pace, but it'll be a fun event at the same time. You'll learn something, and you might actually, considerably change your outlook on the financials for the rest of your life.
Well, Larry, thanks for joining me today. It's very interesting. I've got some people that would be listening to this, and I'm sure it's going to be very interested. So, again, it was funeralexpo.com.
That's incorrect. funeraltrustexpo.com.
Very good. So funeraltrustexpo.com, you can get all of the details, everybody that's going to be there. Actually, I will be speaking at the event as well. So
that's right. Yep.
Be sure to check us out.
Yep. Funeraltrustexpo.com. It'll answer all your questions in life, October 27th to 28th here in Louisville, Kentucky at the Hilton Garden Inn. You got airport shuttle. Come in Thursday. You'll be home Friday night. It'll be fast paced. You're going to learn stuff. And you're going to have a lot of fun too.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Larry, for being on today's show.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your day.
Thank you for listening to Megabucks Radio with Nina Hershberger. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit megabucksradio.com.